Okay. So, long weekend. Too bad the people that aren't here are going to miss out on a really good sermon.
Oh, yes.
It's going to be fire.
Oh, yeah.
No. Fire in modern vernacular apparently is a good thing. Is that true? Maybe. I'm not hip enough to pull it off, but that's okay. Yeah. And it's really good to be in the house of the Lord.
Yes, it is.
You know, and you know, sometimes you know people think, well, it's better to be out camping. Not always. Sometimes, you know, what happens is it's like sunny and nice here, and then for the people who are camping, it's rainy. And bugs.
Yes.
We pray bugs on them. Should we pray bears? No, we don't do that. That's too much. We'll pray bugs. So if you're ever gone on Sunday, no. Isn't that terrible?
Yes.
Do we ever do that? I don't think I that's a first, I think, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Hopefully the last.
Well, let's pray, actually. Maybe that'll get me on the right foot here. Oh, God, you are so good. And, Lord, your word is true. And it is so powerful. And I pray, God, that you would, God, lift us up today. That, God, you would speak to our hearts today. That, God, as we go forth, Lord, we would know that you have us. You've got us in the palm of your hand. And we can trust you because you have our best interest at mind all the time. And I pray, God, that this message, Lord, would hit us where we need it today. For those that are online, I pray, God, that they take some time, Lord, to really hear what the Spirit is saying to them. And I pray, God, that this would be a powerful time in your spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So, we're starting a brand new sermon series for the summer. We're talking about Psalm 23. Now, most people, when they think of Psalm 23, they think of it about funerals, right? It's sort of, actually, every time I see a funeral on TV, and they're over the grave, what do they read? They read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, right? This is the psalm that they read because it's a psalm that brings great comfort and great peace as our loved ones are going to be with Jesus. And there are powerful words for those that are grieving or troubled. But you know, the truth of the matter is that when you read through that psalm, there is a lot there for us in each and every day and part of our lives. It doesn't matter, we can really see God at work in our lives. And I think that if it's only quoted at funerals, there's some strength, wisdom, and power that is actually lost. There's faith in it. There's so much more to it than just being with a shepherd in the middle of the valley of the shadow of death. There's faith. There's comfort. There's rest. There's provision. There's guidance and protection. And most of all, divine fulfillment that can only come through the Lord Jesus. As I was working through and studying the psalm during the week, and I was going through the verses, and every time I went through, I was going, oh, yes. And as I got to the end of each verse, or not even each verse, every stanza, I go, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes. Because there are things in there that we all actually need. This morning, we're going to start our journey through Psalm 23. And hopefully we'll do one verse a week. Looking into what David is actually talking about. There'll be a Sunday about rest. Hey, yes, how many people? Yes!
A Sunday about healing. Yes. A Sunday about difficulty. Oh, no yeses. A Sunday about life and life to the full. And I believe that there is encouragement in these words. Encouragement that will keep us going through the summer and walking in towards the fall. So let's read this and let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. He lets me rest in meadows, green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. Okay. Let's stop here for a minute. Which verse makes you say yes? Come on.
The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd, okay? Anybody else? Come on. You don't have to be shy. Don't be shy. What verse makes you say yes today?
Verse 5.
Verse 5. What is verse 5? Amen. Come on, anybody else? Don't be shy.
Number 2, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside still waters.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
Yes, isn't that true? You know what, you want to, like, honestly, I mean, I could go off right now on that. Like, there's so much there. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Like, that doesn't, that mean, okay, that's in a few weeks. But really, you just think about it. The way the world works, that surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, even when life is kind of junky.
Right.
His faithfulness is going before us. Follows us even. That's powerful. And this one, there's a verse in these psalms, and actually I thought John was going to say all of them. but what I want you to do as we go through this each week is to meditate on each verse, to take each verse and go, okay, what is it that I need from Jesus this week? What is it that he is promising me this week? Because you know what? Each of these things are a promise from God. We talked about him being the promise keeper. These are promises that as we let him lead us, he will take care of us. What things do you miss out on? Do you need peace? Do you need comfort, fulfillment? This is a different sermon series for me. It's actually going to be a little stretching because I have a little bit of a hard time focusing on one verse. I kind of like going along to the next one and the next one. But this verse is full of wise and powerful nuggets for each one of us. And let's be honest, there are so many chapters and verses that if we went through one verse a week, we would take forever to get through the Word of God, wouldn't we? But for the record, verse 3 is mine. I want to be led along right paths so that I can honor his name. That's a verse that stood out for me. And also verse 1, which is the one that I've been studying about. And the title of today's message is, God Has Got Me. Can you say that? God's got me. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
That is a powerful line to think about, that God has you. Because this world wants to lie to you to say that you are struggling, you're going nowhere, that it's all helpless and hopeless. But the Word of God says a totally different thing, doesn't it, Bill?
That's right.
Run that by me again.
I said that the world tells us that everything's hopeless and that we are helpless. But
glorious hope.
But the Lord, yes, the Word of God tells us that we have hope.
That's right.
You're right. God has me. This is something I want you to speak out this week, to say, God, you've got me. The message of verse 1 is actually fairly simple, but it's actually probably a little more difficult to live out. It's one we know inwardly, but when it comes to application, the push comes to shove, that sometimes we find it a little bit more difficult to live. David is the writer of the psalm. Commentators are not sure when it was written. Some think during the time of Absalom's rebellion, or when he was on the run from Saul, and possibly near the end of his life as he's reminiscing. You see what I mean? The commentators don't exactly know when he wrote it. But what we do know is David understands that in everything God was with him. It didn't matter whether he wrote it when Absalom was there, when it was Saul, it doesn't matter what time it was, because he realized that in all things God is with him. God has looked after him in the past, in the present, and God will look after him in the future, no matter what. The shepherd is always close by, and he looks after his sheep. Psalm 23, verse 1, this is what we're going to look at today. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. There's our verse for today. Good talk. I hope you enjoyed it. You know, the best part about these things is what you really want to do with a sermon is you want it to be simple. I don't want to overcomplicate it. The fact of the matter is that if God is our shepherd, we've got everything that we need. That's really the truth of it. Like, it's simple, actually. But so why would I take time to really take... Why would I take 30 minutes to talk about this? Well, you guys pay me big bucks and you expect something, so let's go for it. Let's start at the beginning. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. It starts with the Lord, and that's the best place to start. The Lord is my shepherd. The words that have been highlighted are the Lord. And David didn't use a general term. He didn't say, God is my shepherd. He says, the Lord. And when you look in your Bibles, and every time it says the Lord, that means God's personal name. It means Yahweh, which is God's personal, specific name. Had he used the word Elohim, that would have meant God, just a general God. But God has given us his personal name so that we would know his nature and his character. And so when he uses the word the Lord, it is supposed to conjure up two ideas. Number one, power, and personal. Basically, the idea that God is both powerful and he is relational. God is a force of nature and a strength. The Bible talks about the Lord. It is in those terms. The Lord is a miracle-working God. The Lord is a powerful God. The Lord is a creative God. The Lord is a promise-keeping God. This word is a highly revered word. I was reading about it this week, and when the scribes were writing out the Old Testament, when it came to writing out the Lord, Yahweh, they would take a shower first. They would take a shower first, they would write it, And then they would break the quill, and then they would burn the quill. And then they would come back later and start again, because they were highly reverent of the name of God. Isn't that crazy? God's name, not a general word. God revealed himself as Yahweh to Moses, saying, the I am has sent you. And the idea is that I am is that God is able to do anything and be everything that you need him to be. The context is that Moses says, well, who is the Lord? Who is God? Who is sending me? And God says, I am is sending you. I am who you need me to be. That's who is sending you. The God who lovingly and tenderly saved a nation was the one that was sending Moses. The God who watched over them for 40 years, feeding them, making sure that they had everything that they could need on their journey. That was the one who was with them. Exodus 15 verse 2 says, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. God wins. God is powerful. They're celebrating a victorious, powerful, personal God. Without him, they have nothing. He gives victory and is worthy of all praise and honor. This shows the strength of God. And so when David is writing this psalm out, he starts with it. He says, the Lord, Yahweh, a personal and powerful God, is my shepherd. David has seen that God is his everything in life. David goes, I wouldn't be on the throne without God. I'd be dead in a sheep pasture without God. He says, I fought off bears and lions, right? Without God, he would never have made it. The shepherd that David needs and the shepherd that we all need is the Lord himself. Most of us are led by so many different things. Sometimes it's the internet. Sometimes it's global news. Sometimes it's a newspaper. Sometimes it's somebody on YouTube. We are led by so many different things, and yet, who are we supposed to be led by? Yahweh. Personal, powerful, showing us the ways to go. David's shepherd is not just any God, but the God who forcibly and miraculously removed Israel from Egypt without a fight. This is the God who can be your shepherd. And one thing we know about David is he knows sheep. He was the consummate shepherd. When we think about David, what do you think about David? You think about him with his little harp, right? He's out in the pasture. He's like, I lift my eyes up to the mountains, where will my help come from? Most Mactor had. Can you believe that? Anyway, but that's how we think of David, right? He's in the pasture and he's like, the sheep are surrounding him and he's performing a little concert. Anyway, he knows what it means to be a shepherd. That's what I'm getting at. And he uses this phrase, shepherd, in describing God, the way that God has been with him, the way a shepherd takes care of sheep, an abiding presence, a protective reality, a healing and helping person, a pillar of strength in hard times. Before we move on in the verse, it's important to understand the reality of God as a shepherd, because it's one that comes up time and time again in the Old Testament. God is talked of as a shepherd. Ezekiel 34, verse 11. And when I read this, I was kind of shocked, right? Let's read this. For this is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search and find my sheep. I will be like a shepherd looking for his scattered flock. I will find my sheep and rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on that dark and cloudy day. I will bring them back home to the land of Israel.
from among the peoples and nations. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel and by the rivers and in all of the places where people live. Yes, I will give them good pasture land on the high hills of Israel. There they will lie down in pleasant places and feed in the lush pastures of the hills. I myself will tend my sheep and give them a place to lie down in peace, says the Sovereign Lord. I will search for my lost ones who strayed away, and I will bring them safely home again. I will bandage the injured and strengthen the weak, but I will destroy those who are fat and powerful. I will feed them, yes, feed them justice. Isn't that interesting how God describes himself? When you read that, did you get pictures of Psalm 23?
Yes.
This is how God describes his relationship to his people. He will find his sheep. He will find the scattered, the hurt, the lonely, the isolated, and he will bring them back. God is a God who nurtures and cares. He's all over the place finding his sheep, the ones that are lost. It fills me in hope, thinking that, you know what? God has got me. He knows where I am. He knows where you are. If you're lost and lonely, he knows where you are. If you're struggling right now, God knows that too. And you know the cool part about that? We've prayed about unsaved loved ones. God knows where they are. And like a faithful shepherd, he's watching. Isaiah 40 verse 1, he will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them close to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. This is who our God is. A God who is leading, feeding, carrying, holding, and reassuring. God is not a troublemaking God. He is a loving and caring God. Back to the verse. We did the first two words. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. We talked about the name, the nature of the shepherd, and his connection to God. But the next word also is important. The verb matters. The wording matters. David didn't say, God was my shepherd. Doesn't say, God will be my shepherd. Doesn't say, God could be.
He
says, God is my shepherd. He doesn't even say, I hope God will be my shepherd. God is presently and right now his shepherd. It's in the present tense. And as he's writing this poem, he is saying, I am at this very moment being looked after and cared for by God. God is actively taking care of his life. And God is actively taking care of your life, whether you know it or not. God is at this very moment looking after you. Is at this very moment concerned with your future, where things are at with you. God is at this very moment a very present help. Not will be. God doesn't just leave us alone. A shepherd never leaves his sheep to their own devices. The shepherd, if he's going to have a healthy and productive flock, knows that he has to be there at all times. Because the truth is, sheep are nuts. Philip Keller, he's a sheep rancher, and he wrote a book called The Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, and he says that they require more attention than any other livestock. They cannot take care of themselves. Unless the shepherd makes them move, the sheep will ruin a pasture. They will eat every blade of grass until a fertile pasture is nothing but barren soil. Sheep are also nearsighted and very stubborn, but very easily frightened. An entire flock can be stampeded by a jackrabbit. They have little means of defense. They are timid, feeble creatures. Their only recourse is to run. Especially if there is no shepherd there to protect them. They also have no homing instincts. A dog, horse, cat, or a bird can find its way home, but when a sheep gets lost, it's a goner. In an attempt to find warmth in the cold, sheep have also been known to suffocate each other because they press in so close and don't realize that somebody's dying. Told you, sheep are nuts. So they need constant companionship. They need constant care. And David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He is currently, right now, looking after me because he knows that the shepherd doesn't go anywhere. David says, God is my shepherd. He's looking after me right now. Let's keep going here. The next word is my. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. There's an emphasis here on pronouns. I, my, me. And there are actually 28 pronouns in this verse. In this psalm. And it's important because God isn't just any shepherd. He is David's shepherd. And he is your shepherd. One of the reasons that this psalm is so well loved is because it's personal. It's specific. And it's a psalm that each one of us can read at any time and experience the blessings that David's talking about. David says, God is my shepherd. God is my shepherd. God is my shepherd. A well-known actor came to town, and he gave public recitations of outstanding literary pieces. One of the ones that he did was Psalm 23. His presentation was flawless. Everybody was impressed. Standing ovations. However, at that gathering, there was also a saint of God who was there. And they asked him to share Psalm 23. Upon the friendly prodding of the people and the consent of the actor, he finally was coached into giving his version. All eyes were on him. With deep feeling and emotion, he began, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." On and on he continued, emphasizing each personal pronoun until he finished the great psalm. As he sat down, the crowd was visibly moved, including the actor. Without hesitation, the actor exclaimed, "I know the song, but this man knows the shepherd." David knew God personally. Every verse of this psalm he lived out, and that's why he wrote it the way he did. Like the old man in the story, he spoke the way he did because it wasn't just a charade. He knew who God is. God is his shepherd. God is his guide. God is his everything. You can know God the same way David did, as a loving and caring shepherd. For many of people, they look at God and they think of someone who is angry, someone who treats them with contempt and sometimes is mildly frustrating. But for David, there's love. There's care. David says, God's got me. And he's got you too. You just need to make him your shepherd. And the question that I had is God just any shepherd, or is he your shepherd? This is an important question because so many people identify and they love Psalm 23. But it's just this general thing. God is just a shepherd. But it's powerful when you start to go, God is my shepherd. He leads me for his name's sake. He's my guy. He's my everything. David doesn't just say, well, God's a shepherd. God's a good God. He says, God is my shepherd. And we talked about this a number of months ago, about how when we approach God, we often ask him for the moon, But we don't actually have a relationship with him. And the truth is that until you submit yourself to his leadership and you submit yourself to his ways of living, a lot of his benefits don't come. It's when you're in relationship with the Lord and you're following the Lord and you're doing what, going where he wants you to, that's when the benefits and the blessings are unlocked. God says, who am I to you? Am I your God or your servant? When it comes to this passage, David says, God's got me because he's my shepherd. He guides me along. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Once you get to the last, you got to finish the first five words before you get to the last few. And we had to deal with the first ones first, because it sets the table for what's coming next. When the Lord is your shepherd, everything else falls into place. When God, Yahweh, the one who is everything, the one who is personal and powerful, is the one that is involved in the very, in every moment of our lives, he brings us to places that we never thought we'd be. We have everything that we could ever need in God. A little boy was reciting this as a memory verse, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. And I think he's got it. That's kind of the truth, isn't it? When God is in the proper place in your life, things seem to fall into place. Most of our issues, and actually most of my issues, happen when I decide that I want what I want, and I'm going to get what I'm going to get. And when I decide that God's timing isn't my timing. You see, when a sheep takes the eye off the shepherd, that's when he gets lost. That's when he finds himself in dangerous places. In God, we have everything we could need. He has promised that he would provide for his children. Psalm 84, verse 11. For the Lord God is our sun and our shield. Isn't that good? He is our grace and glory. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what's right. When God is your shepherd, he will take care of you. That is the truth. Sometimes we focus on the lack. Sometimes we focus on what we believe is fair and not fair. And my mind sometimes wanders. And I think about my hopes, I think of my dreams, and I don't think about God. What is it that God wants for me? What is it that my shepherd wants for me? And what I've resolved to do is to put my eyes on him. And I encourage you, keep your eyes on him. The shepherd's job was to look out for his sheep. He looks out for trouble. He looks for the grass. He looks for the quiet streams. And as long as the sheep had the shepherd close at hand, they had everything they could ever want. Our trouble is that we forget that God does have us. We forget sometimes how loving and caring he is. We forget that he is actually uniquely able and qualified to not only know what we need, but to provide what we need. Here's another thing about our shepherd. For all the animals of the forest are mine. This is Psalm 50, verse 10 and 11. And I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains, and all the animals of the field are mine. God can take care of his people just fine. It doesn't matter what the interest rates are. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills.
Gold and silver in every mine.
Gold and silver in every mine. God knows. God's got it. And you know, we need to be... That's how we need to live in this world. As people who go, our shepherd has us. No matter what happens,
The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. Now there's a discussion about needs. Now some of you go, well, okay, you can say this, but I don't have everything that I need. Well, sometimes we need to have a little discussion about needs and wants and where the intersection lies. A beautiful forerunner might be really nice, but is it what I need? A really wonderful, sweet trip, holiday to Sweden sounds really good, doesn't it? But is it something that I need? Our needs: food, drink, rest, shelter, clothes. Hopefully clothes. These are some of the needs that all of us have. The second piece to this is who's in charge? Who is setting the agenda? Who's determining what's important? You see, who's the shepherd and who's the sheep?
We're the sheep.
We're the sheep, but sometimes we say, well, we think we know what's best and we know what's right. It's the Bible talks in these terms of if you get the most important question right, everything else falls into place. Who do you serve? Who do you love? Who are you following? When God is your answer and you keep going His way, He does look after you. This verse here, it's a statement of faith. You know, it's a year we've been taught, I've talked to the people all year. This year is a year of faith here. And to make this statement is a statement of faith saying, you know what? I know that God has me. No matter what's coming, God's got me. It's a statement of trust. The Lord's my shepherd and I'm just a sheep. I need a shepherd, and I trust my shepherd to care about me, to be concerned about my feelings, and to guide me through the world that I'm living in. I'm giving myself to the shepherd, trusting and believing that he knows better than I do. This summer, I want to be the first to remind you, first of all, God has got you. He really does. Things might be weird and hard, And maybe things are just really going well and you're just like, you've been following God and it just life has been great. Well, awesome. Keep going. But maybe you're not feeling that way. Here's a hint. Let him lead you. Give him a chance. If we let God do the work, imagine what happens. If we would just let God do things, he would do the things that this psalm talks about. He would lead us into rest. He would show us the right path. He would anoint our heads with oil. Bring us to a table in the middle of our enemies. Whoa. But that's the kind of shepherd we have. He's a powerful one, a loving one. God. And yeah, here's a good thought. And if we actually followed God, instead of having to fix things in us all the time, God could spend more time blessing us. Think about that for a minute. Instead of having to fix all the troubles and the messes that we make, God could just spend the time fixing or just blessing our socks on. That sounds good to me. Does it sound good to you?
Oh, yes.
Let's pray. God.